Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein. Welcome to a response of a day for the second day of Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, the first of Cheshvan. We're going to start with a responsum that was written on the first day of Cheshvan, the second day of Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, by Moshe Feinstein, but that actually is, this is my usual practice, but I thought it was a topic that was interesting enough or that had enough ramifications, and I'm just going to follow some of the ramifications rather than find other tshuvot to supplement the time. Because the original tshuva is actually fairly short. It's from Moshe Feinstein from the second day of Rosh Chodesh, Tav Shin Yud Gimel, which would have been 1952. And his correspondent had asked, the Ritva had written, the correspondent had noticed that the Ritva had written that according to the opinion that you need chatzotzrot on ta'anit, so the Torah seems to says that when there's a tsar hatzoweretchem, when there is a trouble coming to you, that you're supposed to blow chatzotzrot. So the Ritva had said, it's chatzotzrot. It's got to be chatzotzrot. And that was the reason, he said, he wondered, the Ritva, the Ritva said, it's the need for chatzotzrot that is the reason that in France, or in Spain, or in there, they didn't blow on ta'aniyot, on fast days. Right, they didn't blow on public fast days because they didn't have chatzotzrot. So the man writing to Rav Moshe Feinstein says, I don't understand. Let them make chatzotzrot of silver. You can't make chatzotzrot of gold. Chatzotzrot are, we call them trumpets, but I don't know exactly what they were shaped like, but they were something like trumpets. So, you know, long things that you can blow in and make a loud sound. So if you can't use gold chatzotzrot because those are only in the Beit HaMikdash, and you can't make like that, can't make similar things to the Beit HaMikdash to use elsewhere. But the man said, so make silver chatzotzrot and blow them. So Rav Moshe Feinstein answers that he thinks that according to the opinion that the blowing should be with chatzotzrot, it doesn't mean chatzotzrot, and that's the shape of the instrument, the name of the instrument. It means chatzotzrot, the things that were blown in the Beit HaMikdash, those chatzotzrot. Now, in other words, chatzotzrot then becomes not a word for trumpets, it becomes a word for a particular instrument that was used in the Beit HaMikdash. And then that would explain, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, another interesting thing, the Rambam includes the obligation to blow on fast days in times of trouble, to blow chatzotzrot, he includes it in the same obligation as the obligation to blow when one is offering korbanot, right? The Torah, and the technical reason is, or not technical, but the textual reason is, that they appear very close to each other in the psukim in the same conversation. But Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying, but if it's not the same objects that you're using, then why wouldn't you count them as two separate? So they're two separate occasions. One is I'm in the Beit HaMikdash, I'm in the temple offering a sacrifice. The other is I'm wherever I am, and I have a time of trouble, and I'm turning to Hashem with it. So if you say that they have to be the same instrument, that would at least also explain why the Rambam would have paskin that way. The man writing to Rav Moshe Feinstein also pointed out that there's a mugget of rum that we'll talk about. Right now, where the mugget of rum had wondered why they don't blow on fast days. And there were other achronim who answered the question. They didn't know the source of the custom. They gave various answers. They didn't give this answer. So he said, why don't they just quote the Ritva and say, with the Ritva saying, because you need chatzotzrot. So he says, no, because if you look in the Magen Avraham, you'll see the Magen Avraham had said the Rashba, he thinks that the Rashba is more correct, that on a fast day you can blow either a shofar or a chatzotzrot. So if that's true, then he would say, so why don't we blow a shofar today? In other words, Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying he never thought, nobody ever thought, you would blow chatzotzrot on fast days in France, so or in Eastern Europe, wherever they were. So the Magen Avraham had wondered about it, but that's because Magen Avraham held you could use a shofar, and that led to a whole discussion with many answers in the Achronim. So that's the tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Simple tshuva, took us, you know, 5 minutes to discuss. Part one was that there's a Ritva who says you can't blow with chatzotzrot, and that's why we don't blow on fast days in France. The man writing the question wanted to know, why don't you just make chatzotzrot of silver? Rav Moshe Feinstein's answer was the chatzotzrot here doesn't mean trumpets in any sense. It means the chatzotzrot that were used in the Beit HaMikdash, that's why we can't do it. And that also explains the Rambam's counting them as one mitzvah together, because they use the same objects of the mitzvah, the obligation to blow on Chatzotrot while offering sacrifices as well as to blow during Atan. It's really the same thing because they use the same object. And that's what Moshe said, but the Magen Avraham, who raised the question as well as to why they didn't blow on fast days, was talking according to the other opinion, which held that you could do it, that you can use even a shofar. That's as far as Moshe Feinstein goes. Now, it happens to be the Prima Gadim, who is a commentary on the Magen Avraham, also a commentary on the Taz, but he has a commentary on the Magen Avraham called, he has it on the Taz called the Mishpat Sot Zahav, and on the Magen Avraham called the Eshel Avraham. He addresses some of these issues as well. So in the Mishpat Sot Zahav on Siman Tov Kuf Ayin Hey, he notes the Rambam has a mitzvah say, Lizok Ul Haria B'Chatzotrot, to call out and blow to Hashem on the Chatzotrot. The Magen Avraham quoted it, and the Magen Avraham said, so why don't we blow today? So the Smag, he notes, the Prima Gadim notes that the Derech Mitzvot Techa, which was an important work about Sifrei Mitzvot and how they do or don't count various mitzvot, had noted that the Smag didn't count the mitzvah to blow in a time of trouble. And then Prima Gadim said that he suggested that the Pasuk says, Be'artzechem. So it could be, the Torah says, Be'artzechem. So maybe he says, the answer is that the whole obligation to blow in times of trouble only comes up Be'artzechem, but it's not true outside of Israel. It's only in Israel. And then he says, maybe, that even in Israel, if we're not in control of Israel, we wouldn't have an obligation to blow on the Chatzotrot in times of trouble. That's what the Prima Gadim suggests as an answer to the Magen Avraham's question as to why we don't blow anymore. Maybe it's only in Israel. Now that has a lot of, that has halachic ramifications, and Rav Moshe's already in 1952 when Israel was, thank God, in the hands of the Jewish people already, and therefore the two answers of the Prima Gadim wouldn't apply to blowing on Chatzotrot in Israel. So we're going to see a tshuva from the Tzitzit Eliezer in a minute who talks about that question, but the Prima Gadim wasn't yet in that time, so he says maybe these are reasons why we don't blow. That would answer the Magen Avraham's question. So then he notes that, like I pointed out before, that when the Rambam counts them as one mitzvah, which Moshe Feinstein said was maybe because they're one object, but people were bothered by counting them as one mitzvah because they happen on different times and different occasions with different circumstances, so that would seem like they're two mitzvot. So he says if you look at the Sefer HaChinuch in Bahalotcha, he says that they both have the same intent. And the intent is that people have to focus on Hashem. So when a person is giving a korban, giving a sacrifice, they have to focus their attention on offering it properly, on having the proper motives, having the proper intent of using it as an event and an occasion to build a closer relationship with the Kaddish Baruch. And so too, in a time of trouble, you need a lot of attention. As others have said, as Rambam says, that part of the obligation to blow shofar, to blow chatzotrot, or to blow whatever it is in times of trouble, to turn to Hashem and to cry out to Hashem, is part of recognizing that at least at the communal level, when things happen to a community that is distressing, they're required, the community is required to say, it's not just something that happens, and it's not just the way nature works. The way the phrase they used was ma'arechet hashamayim. It's not the way the stars have it in for us, but they mean it's not just fate or destiny or nature or whatever it is, and therefore as a community they have to turn to Hashem. So if that's true, the Prima Gadim is suggesting they are very related. They're different iterations, they're different occasions for expression of the same idea, that when we have a cause to focus intensely on trying to communicate with Hashem, so then we're supposed to use the Chatzotrot as an aid to that, as a help for that. So that's where the Prima Gadim had it. That's a topic that's very close to my heart because unfortunately I think many, many of us today sometimes forget that the reason why we fast on fast days, the fasting part the Rambam holds is the Drabbanan, a rabbinic aspect of that, whereas the Doraita part was to blow on these Chatzotrot, to blow and to call out to Hashem in that way, but they share the idea that we're supposed to remember that it's coming from Hashem. So that would be the motive and the push when, you know, in 1952, in the second day of Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan of Tavshin Yud Gimel, while somebody would say to Rav Moshe, so first he would talk about this Ritva, and then we're going to see this says, we're going to say, why don't we do that? So now we see part of the reason why we would feel this urge, why we would want to do that. In the Eshel Avraham, the Prima Gadim said had a very similar idea. It's the same man writing, so it's not a surprise at all. But he says that the reason that there's a positive commandment to pray, to call out to Hashem, then he says it as she yedu she hakol v'ashkachalom mikra merach hashemayim. We should know that things are providence. So then he says, so if that's true, he wonders whether a tzibur is any 10 people, or maybe only in Eretz Yisrael, where it says be'artzachem, like we saw before. So that's another question, right? So you could, is it any 10 people is a tzibur wherever they are in the world? So we think that in lots of ways, so that's why we have a minyan with any 10 men that we have. But does that mean that if there's a time of trouble for any 10 people, that's a tzar tzoretchem, or does it have to be ba'artzachem, and maybe it's only there, and then when he says it's only there, he says, v'chas v'shalom k'sheish tzar ha'la rov, azu mitzvat aseh, v'she'ekein, k'hal echad ki yechidim damyan. Maybe it's only, the Prima Gunim says, when the time of trouble is coming to the majority of the Jewish people. So it's interesting because when he points to Be'artzachem, that could have meant it could only be in Eretz Yisrael. And then once it's got to be in Eretz Yisrael, maybe it would be any minyan Eretz Yisrael, meaning if there's a small community, you know, in the north of Israel, and they're having a time of trouble, would they blow something, right? Chatzotzot, according to the Ritva, who held it out to be Chatzotzot, but then maybe it's only the ones you have in the Beit HaMikdash, and you don't take them out for blowing. So that would be perhaps, but for those who held that maybe you could blow shofar, and you have to wonder why not. So maybe in Artsachem, would a small community's tzara be a tzara? So the Prima Gunim doesn't quite adjust that, but he sort of implies here that he means not just a matter of geography, but he means it as a matter of national trouble, and then only a national trouble, which would only be if it's the majority of the Jewish people who are having the trouble, and that would be if the land of Israel has some trouble, the community of the land of Israel. And it would also seem to imply that it's even not yet today, because we don't yet, although we're getting closer and closer, have the majority of Jews living in Israel yet today. So that would all be implied or implicit, I think, in the Prima Gunim. That is sort of the end of the discussion of Rav Moshe, for Moshe himself. Those were some of the ideas that Rav Moshe hinted at. So that's 1952. On the 3rd of Sivan of Tafshid Lamed, the 3rd of Sivan of 1970, so that's 17 and a half years later, the Tzitzel Yezer Yud Aleph Ted Zayin 11:16 was asked the same question. He came up with the same issue came up. Now, what's happened in between 1952 when Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote his tshuva and 1970 when he was writing his tshuva? The Jews have conquered the old city of Jerusalem, thank God, and they've gotten Har HaBayit back, the Temple Mount is back in our hands, as well as the Kotel HaMaravi, the Western Wall, and there were people suggesting that we now have the possibility to have real fast days, to have blowing of trumpets of some sort, if there are times of trouble or a shofar or something like that. So the idea had come up. So Tzitzel Yezer starts off his response by saying, I had intended not to express an opinion about blowing chatzotzrot be'eit tzara, if there's a time of trouble, God forbid, in our time, I had meant not to say anything, especially talk about it doing Ayat HaKotel HaMaravi next to the Kotel. I'm sorry, I just noticed there was a lot of dead air. I apologize for that. I thought I had paused this tape while I looked something up. I apologize greatly. This is a tshuva written to Rav Yisrael Veltz. So he was an elderly Rav who had been a Rav in Budapest in the old country and had made it through the Holocaust and was an old man, and they have a correspondence about a bunch of issues. So he says, because you asked me, I can't resist answering you. And therefore, I'm going to tell you my opinion, even though I meant to keep it to myself, about whether or not you can blow b'chatzotzrot, especially next to the Kotel. So he says, the people who want to do it, and they say, you've got a halacha in the Rambam that you're supposed to do it, and even though the Beis Yosef, you mean the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, don't bring that halacha, they say that's for the reasons that they say the Magen Avraham, though, says clearly that you should have done it, and the Magen Avraham didn't understand why they weren't doing it in his towns. So he says also, and so people who don't, and the people who are saying that we should blow the chatzotzot now at the Kotel, they don't want to cast aspersions on previous generations, right? It's never good to cast aspersions on the previous generation because they were from Jews who were trying to do their best as well. So therefore they say, maybe they held like the Prima Gadim that we just spoke about, that they distinguished between the land of Israel and Chutz Laaretz. Now, we're going to get to the Tzitzit Lezer in a second. I just point out that the Tzitzit Lezer could have said, but if you look carefully at the Prima Gadim, it turns out that it's until you have the majority of the Jewish people living in Israel. There is, and this is not in the Tzitzit Lezer or in Rav Moshe, but there is Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzedek Livracha, who I went through his writings once in the year after he passed away, a couple of times pointed to Gemara in Horios, which said that something along the lines of Kahal to Eretz Yisrael Ikre Kahal, Hani Ikre Kahal, Hani Lo Ikre Kahal. The people living in Israel are called the Kahal, are called the community of the Jewish people, and those living outside are not. So theoretically, you could have said that the Prima Gadim meant that. That when he said the Rove, he didn't mean literally you need a majority. He meant that it's only the community of Israel as a whole that is that whose times of trouble caused the invocation of this halacha of making of blowing in the chatzotzot. Back to the Tzitzit Eliezer, who is going to also respond to Rav Moshe Feinstein, which gives me the right to claim that I can fit this in here. Ulam nirei li'adati, he says. The Magavra's question was never about the Chatzotrot. Why was it never about the Chatzotrot? Because his question was about the shofar. Why would it be about the shofar? For the reason that Rav Moshe said we saw already. So they're just saying it as well. Because the Beis Yosef, it said clearly that the Begvulin in Token Ella Bishofar, that outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you never blow anything other than Shofar. Chatzotzrot are a thing that's blown only in the Beit HaMikdash, only near the Beit HaMikdash, and only when there were fast days in the Mikdash, where he says, Shaya b'ma'amad kol Yisrael, that was there with all of the Jewish people standing there. So what does he mean, all the people, Jewish people standing there? He clearly doesn't mean all the Jewish people. He means that the people who stand in the Beit HaMikdash are representative of the entire Jewish people. The Beit HaMikdash is the central place of worship for the entire Jewish people. So there, you would blow with the Chatzotzot. And the question that the Magen Avraham was raising was about shofar. Now, if that's true, it means the Prima Gadim would be saying that even shofar, you would only blow be'artzachem. The whole idea of blowing would only be be'artzachem. Right? So that's the Tzitzit is clarifying for us to be Megadim to whom Rav Moshe was referring when he was saying the people gave answers. So that would mean then, if that's who we relied on, that the Jewish people have accepted the idea, either implicitly or explicitly, but they've accepted the idea that the whole time when the Torah says that you have to blow, even shofar, for times of trouble that come your way, it meant the Jewish community of Eretz Yisrael. Now that's a remarkable thing, especially since the Prima Gadim explicitly also connected it to the idea of recognizing that things that happen to us are not happenstance. They are not chance occurrences. They're not nature. They're not the fates of the stars. They're hashkacha. So if that's a halacha, the Prima Gadim had said, only applies ba'artzachem, it to me at least raises the possibility that the Torah is implying that we can only be so confident that events that happen even to communities are specifically divine providence. It doesn't mean there aren't events of divine providence outside of Israel, but it's only that in Israel, the community of Israel, like the people got and wondered whether it was even a small group of 10, any group of 10, or it's just the entirety of the Jewish people, it has interesting implications for that which we're required to believe comes directly from Hashem. So those who don't want to believe in divine providence, sadly for them, will have a problem either way, right? It's not, even if I restrict, even if I say that the halakha is telling us that we're only allowed to be completely confident that events that happen to us are divine providence, even if we take the narrowest view would be, Prima Gadim would say it would only be in Israel, and it would only be those things in Israel that really threaten the Jewish community of Eretz Yisrael as a whole, because they are, as I said, the Rav Lichtenstein had pointed out, like Warren Eric and Horiot, they are called Kahal, because they are the representatives of the entire Jewish people. They count as the Rove, even if they're not the Rove, or they are the Rove, and only in those situations. So people who don't want to believe in Providence will still have a problem, because they'll still be troubled by the idea that we'll be declaring that if, you know, a drought, God forbid, hits Israel, or if Israel is worried about Syria and it's a threat to the entire country, and they call a fast day and they blow the Chatzotzot, or the shofar, that's a declaration that we recognize that this is not happenstance. It's not just politics. It's Yad Hashem. It's the hand of Hashem. So it doesn't help them. But for those of us who believe in providence and who accept that there's providence, it makes an interesting claim about where we're required to know that providence is in effect. It could be that we're not required to know it in as many situations as we think we are. So that, to me, that was a very interesting thing. So you only blow in the Mikdash. That was Maman Kol Yisrael, as the Tzitzilers said. And they would blow in the Chatzot Shot. And the shofar one is what he was coming to answer. So then how come, if the Rigadim is right, how come for hundreds of years they haven't blown shofar in Eretz Yisrael? I mean, the Magen Avraham said, why aren't we doing it in Krakow or Lublin or Lvov or wherever we are? And the Rigadim's answer was, well, maybe it's only halacha that applies in Eretz Yisrael, but we have no tradition of blowing shofar in Eretz Yisrael on fast days. So it says, it seems to him that they hold that you need Eretz Yisrael in your political control, or, Tzidkiah says, like I said a second ago, Shagzira to hey, I'll rove Yisrael. I'm sorry, yes. That was Prima Gunn's answer as well, right? You need the majority to be there, and maybe you need it to be in our control. Okay. Tzidkiah goes on and says, and then the person writing the Ritva said, noted the Igros Moshe about the Ritva that we saw before, that since you need Chatzotrot, so that's why you didn't blow in France according to the Ritva. And then he says, I looked at the Ritva. Tzidkiah says, I went back, looked at the Ritva. There is an implication here, by the way, that Rav Moshe Feinstein did not look at the Ritva, didn't see it inside, but he doesn't say it straight out, but it's an interesting question, right? When somebody, I have long wondered about Rav Moshe Feinstein's library. I don't know which way this cuts for you, but if you look at people like, Tzidkiah has many, many Sfarim that he's consulting and knows well and uses well. Rav Yosef has even more, but has a remarkable library. Forget his memory, it's a remarkable library, remarkable range of books that he's quoting. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in my experience, which does not cover nearly any kind of meaningful fraction of his writing, but in my experience, doesn't quote that widely. In my experience, Rav Moshe Feinstein knew, and this sounds a lot to all of us, but in the context of other poskim, like especially as compared to the people of Yerushalayim, like like I said, the Tzitzeliezer, Rav Yosef, Abba Bar Shaul, all these rabbanim who grew up in Yerushalayim in the early 20th century, they have this remarkable library that they're using. Whereas Rav Moshe, I don't think it's far from the truth to say that he fundamentally knew Shas, meaning the Bavli and Yerushalmi, in their printed editions with all of their attached commentaries, the Rambam with all of his attached commentaries, the Tur with his attached commentaries, and the Shulchan Aruch with his attached commentaries, and then I think the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan. Right? I think, now that's a tremendous amount of learning to do, and he knew it extremely well. But it's really about a relatively restricted library serving a man to turn him into a giant of Torah. In any case, so the Tzitzeliezer says, I looked at the Ritva, and I saw the Ritva wrote that according to the opinion that you blow Chatzotrot. But then the Ritva himself says, he doesn't think that's true, because he himself holds that you don't use Chatzotrot in the Gevulin outside of Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Moshe Feinstein didn't say it. He said it from misvari. He said it from thinking it. It seems like he didn't notice it. Ulam, he says, now the Tzitzeliezer says that the Rav Moshe Feinstein had a really interesting chiddush, that those who hold the tekiah is only the Chatzotrot, not only does it have to be in Eretz Yisrael, but it has to be the ones that you made for the Beit HaMikdash, and he has the Rambam based on that, and he says, the Tzitzeliezer says, and I can add to that, that Rav Yaakov Emden had said, and then he puts in, or maybe even made, could be the main point, Rav Yaakov Emden and Mor Kutsia had said the mitzvah is only in Eretz Yisrael, like we saw in the Prima Gadim, and also it's only with Kohanim, and also with Chatzotzrot. And then he points us to the Sefer Chinuch, who included them in one thing, and that all helps that promotion. That all helps promotion, because if you need Kohanim as well, and you need Chatzotzrot, then you're there. And the Tzitzeliezer closes with a relatively characteristic conservative comment, conservative small c, but especially because in some areas of halacha he was very daring, but in some areas he was preferred following the more traditional path. He says, since there's some doubt whether there's a mitzvah at all, and And we don't know if you have to have chatzotzot. Maybe you don't have to have chatzotzot necessarily. We don't know. Maybe that's because chatzotzot made for the Beit HaMikdash in case we can't do anything. So therefore, he says we should refrain from doing anything because we shouldn't start doing things out of our own understanding of the world. We're not better than the people who came before us. All the people who came before us since the time of the Korban Bayis, right, including in Yerushalayim, where they would have tefillot, they would have prayers on times of trouble that came their way. And they would do it even by the Kotel before the Kotel, before, you know, 1948, they would have it at the Kotel, they would have prayers there, and they never thought to have it with Chatzotzot, they never thought to have it with the Shofar, they never thought anything, so therefore, he thinks we should leave it that way and not all of a sudden innovate. So when it comes to this ceremony, he's opposed to innovating, especially, I think, because of the implications it has about that the people before us didn't know the right way to do it, but now, thank God, we know the right way to do it. So it doesn't have to have been that way because, as we've seen, there were reasons one could give as to why we are now blessed to be able to do it in ways that people weren't before, right? By 1970, the Jewish people was in control of the land of Israel, and therefore Harabite was in our control also, and therefore you could have said maybe that would have been good enough. So the answer follows the reasoning of the people of and of Yaakov Emden, that you need Kohanim and Chatzotzrot. And then Rav Menashe Klein in Mishneh Halachot, in the eighth volume, Simon Kuf Tzadichet, also pointed to that Rav Yaakov Emden, that when it comes to blowing shofar, you need Kohanim. And Rav Yaakov Emden actually said, not only do you need Kohanim, but we need Kohanim who we are sure that they're Kohanim. And today, as is well known, the Kohanim are likely Kohanim, but it's only because they have a chazaka. It's only because they're muchzakim. They have a tradition that they're Kohanim. And therefore he thought that you need more than that. And so you need to know it better in order to qualify to blow the shofar for a fast, or the chatzotzot for a fast. So Rav Menashe Klein, the Mishnah Lakhos, says he thinks that the Rav Yaakov Emden is following his general opinion. Rav Yaakov Emden had said that if a Kohen got five slain for a pigeon, a ben, he thinks he should return them to them. So today, what happens is, if somebody has a baby, somebody who's not a Kohen or a Levi, has a firstborn boy, thank God, and they make a pigeon a bed, and they have that big celebration. So they have to use five silver shekel, because that's the tradition is that halachically you can't just use money, you're supposed to use five sla'im of silver. So many Kohanim own such things, and they'll sell those coins to the father, so the father can own it, and then the father gives it to him for pigeon a bed, which is fine. But they just give it to the father, and whatever it is. But Rav Yaakov Emden felt that the Kohanim should not keep any money for the pigeon aben. They should give it back to the husband, to the father, as a gift, which they're allowed to do. But the reason he gave for it was that they should think to themselves that it's a suffek gezel, that maybe they're stealing it because maybe they're not Kohanim, because they don't really fully know that they're Kohanim. Right? So Rav Menashe Klein isn't thrilled with the idea, but that was Rav Yaakov Emden held, that Kohanim should recognize that they don't fully know if they're Kohanim and therefore give back the money. And then he adds that he thinks part of their answer might be that the blowing of the shofar or the chatzotzot, but the shofar because we don't have chatzotzot today, is only when it's going to lead people to actually repent. When they're going to accept upon themselves that they have to repent, they're in a time of trouble and they're going to repent. As the Rambam said, this is all midarkei hatshuva. And so if you know that people aren't going to, they're going to just listen to it, it's just going to be part of a ceremony, and there's not going to be anything that's going to go on, it's not going to be a real push to tshuva, then he says maybe that's why we don't blow, because it has no impact. That's a remarkable thing to say. I think it's at the very best unclear that that's true, because we do lots of things to try to stimulate tshuva, even if we're not positive they're going to produce tshuva. So in any case, we have started off from this tshuva, this response from Moshe Feinstein from 1952 about the blowing of Chatzotzot, which was a man writing about learning that he was doing, and he found the Ritva. We see Ramosha pointing out that he thinks when you talk about Chatzotzot, that's only the Chatzotzot that were used in the Beit HaMikdash. That raises all sorts of interesting questions about the fast days that come for times of trouble, which the Torah speaks about not in terms of fast days, but in terms of blowing. The question was whether it's only Chatzotzot you blow or it's also shofar you blow. The Rashba held that it was shofar you blow, and that led the Magen Avraham to wonder why they weren't blowing on fast days, on times of trouble in Eastern Europe where he was living. He had several lands, but the Prima Gadim's answer was that maybe it only happens ba'aretzachem, and in your land. Not only that, maybe it's only when it threatens the majority of the Jewish people. Not only that, it's maybe only when the majority of Jewish people are in control of the land of Israel. And Rabbi Yaakov ended and maybe it's only when you have Kohanim, because they're the ones who are going to blow, that you fully know that they're Kohanim. So all of these factors together led the Tzitzeliezer, 18 years after Moshe had said so, to agree, to explain that that's why we don't blow today, even shofar, at the Kotel Maravi, because of all these factors, and we will hope and wait for the time when the majority of Jews living in Israel, when the Beit HaMikdash has been rebuilt, and then we will know and be confident that at the very least, when times of concern occur to the Jewish people of Israel, that we should always know that that, at the very least, is the Yad Hashem, is the hand of Hashem, and therefore we need to respond appropriately by improving our ways. So for the second day of Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, a response of a day, Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Tzitzeliezer and others on blowing shofar or chatzotzrot in times of trouble. Have a great day.